Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of God that we consider on this New Year's Day is taken from the book of the Psalms, Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So far our text. Please be seated. In the name of the eternal Lord and Savior God, who desires everyone to be blessed with everlasting salvation, dear fellow redeemed. Time, as one of those important measures we consider in this earthly life, as this temporal world makes its way from eternity to eternity. That is, from the creation of the world, the beginning of time, to all the time, to the end of time, when timelessness will once again commence. With the aid of the Bible record, we are able to calculate from the beginning of time that the Lord has been overseeing and governing the world with his providential care according to his divine purpose for some 6,000 or so years. In all his governance of this world, which is carried out in righteousness, it has been and ever shall be his ultimate purpose to rule in such a way the people all over the world will become a part of his eternal kingdom. Contrary to the faulty beliefs of the evolutionists, we're not living here in an ancient world that is counted in millions or billions of years, nor are we subject to blind luck and chance happenings. This is the foolishness and blindness of man. When we come to this juncture in time, we add another year from the time when Jesus made entrance into this world, born of the Virgin Mary. We refer to this new year as 2045 AD. AD, as you may well know, is an abbreviation, Latin term, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord, since Christ was born. Another measurement of time we keep track of is the number of years that we have lived in this temporal world. The responsive reading that we had just a short time ago from Psalm 90, we were reminded that we might expect to live possibly 70 or 80 years or so before the end of our earthly pilgrimage comes. Here too, the length of our lives is not left up to chance. For as the Word of God reveals, our times are in God's hands. He determined the length of our life in this world before we enter that timelessness of eternity that lies beyond this temporal world. This brings us to an eternally critical measurement of time, which we refer to as the time of grace. The teachings from Holy Scripture explain this as a time or period that God gives us opportunity to come to the knowledge and faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And once we've learned of him and put our trust in him for forgiveness and salvation, the chief most concern that the Lord has for us is that in our time of grace remaining, we're kept in the faith to the very end. And to use us as his ambassadors to bring others to the knowledge of their Savior. No one knows except God how long our life will be in this world. It can be anywhere from shortly after birth, all the way up to the upper years of our senior citizenship. Not knowing how long that time of grace will be impresses upon its importance of making the best of the time that we have before we depart this life, to make use of the time to remain in the faith with God's help, and also to be instrumental in reaching out to others with the eternal critical goal in mind. In this very important matter, Psalm 67 supplies us with a very timely prayer to use for ourselves and all others. It's a prayer that God bless us with his saving favor in our time of grace, and as the saving message goes out in the world, that all the nations of the world would be blessed in this manner in joining us in praising our eternal God and Savior. That part of the prayer which we offer for ourselves as children of God is found in the opening verse of our text. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Sound familiar? It has some of the same expressions in them that's found in the benediction that we use Sunday after Sunday at the end of the service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We come to know and appreciate that this benediction that is spoken at the end of the service are not words of wishful thinking or high-sounding platitudes which have no effect upon our lives. No, these are words of blessing that God would have us speak on his behalf, to the intent that he would pour out upon us his bountiful blessings of infinite mercy, his unbounded grace, and his divine favor. This threefold blessing is assuring us that the triune God is faithful and graciously helping us in every need of body and soul. That the Heavenly Father, our Creator and Preserver, cares for all our earthly needs and keeps us safe from all harm and danger. That our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is ever favorable to us and causing God to graciously shine upon us by forgiving us all our sins day after day without fail on account of the sin atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And that the Holy Spirit leads us to repent day by day of our sins and to turn to the Lord for his pardon. And to bless us with a spirit of peace in knowing that we are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and with a spirit of love, so that in our life we will show kindness and consideration to those around us, and also to bless us with hope by imparting to us the confident knowledge that because of Jesus' work of salvation, when we depart this life, no question, we'll be going to heaven because of our Savior Jesus. So then, in the petitions we offer up in the verse 1 of Psalm 67, we're telling the Lord that our requests of him are the very same blessings that he promises to give us when we speak the words of the benediction. And so when we say these words, this prayer in Psalm 67, the first verse, we're saying to the Lord, yes, and amen to his promised blessings, and telling him this is our prayer as well that we desire of him. As we look back over the past year just gone by, all of us can say in all truthfulness that God has been faithful in pouring out his abundant blessings upon us each and every day of our lives. He has fed, clothed, and housed us. When we were sick or injured, he was by our side and in many cases provided healing. In times of trial and tribulation, he sustained us and kept us safe with his protective care. Through his word and sacraments, he has nourished our souls, refreshed us, comforted us, preserved us in the faith. And when the time of grace has been brought to an end for our loved ones who died in the Lord, we have the wonderful comfort of knowing they entered the eternal bliss of heaven. Thanks and praise be to God for his gracious and bountiful blessings. The second part of the prayer found in Psalm 67 is for the sake of all other people and nations of the world. In verse 2, we join the psalmist in petitioning the Lord, saying to him, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. This is basically a mission prayer. We're saying to the Lord that we greatly desire the fulfillment of the promise that he made to the Old Testament patriarch Abraham when he said to him, in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We've come to know and rejoice in the fact that that promised seed of Abraham is none other than Jesus. In order for all the families of the earth to be blessed in this way and to join us in praising God with glad and joyful hearts, the saving message of the gospel needs to go out every single day, both near and far, by Christians like you and me. When this takes place, there is a wonderful harvest that occurs, which the psalmist speaks of in verse 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. This harvest that the earth yields is most likely a harvest of souls, not of grain or fruit. It is the glorious ingathering of precious souls into the kingdom of God for whom Jesus shed his precious blood. In this way, God our God shall bless us and all the people. Having come to the end of another year in the long history of this world, there are Christians wondering why the Lord Jesus didn't come a second time to bring an end to this world that's been referred to in Scripture as a veil of tears and usher in eternity. All of us who cling to Jesus by faith, we look forward with eager anticipation for his return, because he's going to take us to a new, perfected earth. And we'll live in that new world with glorified, perfected bodies and souls, never again to face death, never again to face all the problems that we experience in this world. Looking forward to that day, we keep on praying, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But that final end of time didn't come in 2024. There have also been Christians who have wondered why the Lord hasn't brought an end to their time of grace and taking them out of this wretched, miserable world through death, so that they can finally join the hosts of heaven and dwell with God in eternity. Why is it that Jesus didn't return and bring an end to this world? Well, it's because there are still precious souls that the Lord wants to reach out to with the gospel and gather them into his eternal kingdom and finally into his kingdom of glory. And why is it that some people who are looking forward to death don't experience that final end in this temporal world? It's because God still has a purpose for us. No matter how old, no matter what our condition of life is, we all have a purpose. I remember going many times to the nursing home where people are well up in years and they're wondering, why doesn't the Lord take me? I'm ready. What can I do? I'm here, maybe laid up in bed, and there's very little I can do. Well, I remind them, you can still pray. You can pray for many people out there who may not know Jesus. And pray for those who know Jesus to keep them in the faith. Everyone still living as believers have a purpose in life to serve. That's why we're still here. Whenever we come to this juncture in time, where the old year is coming to an end and the new year is just starting up, many people have a custom to make a New Year's resolution. Did you make one? Well, there's a wonderful resolution. It's twofold. Resolution is to have the resolve of looking to the Lord each day to preserve us in the Christian faith through our use of the Word of God and sacraments, and keep us in that faith to the very end till we enter eternity. And secondly, that God grant us the grace to do all that we can to carry out our primary mission. What is that mission? To serve as lights in this world so that people can see the light of God's saving grace in the face of Jesus Christ. To that end, we pray together with the psalmist, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield or increase. God our God shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.